So the tech world is eagerly awaiting Apple's annual product announcement, which will take place overnight. Don't give in to the hype just yet, though, because the era of big bang innovation may have come and gone. I don't know. Maybe it has. Maybe it hasn't. I know someone who knows the answer. Supratim Adhikari is technology editor at The Australian. He's our RN Drive tech head. Hello.
Hi, PK. Great to be here.
Okay, big announcement there. Has it come and gone?
Well, no, I mean, look, this is, you know, this comes around every September, you know, where Apple, obviously a trillion-dollar company, has to make a big song and dance about its latest product, and essentially the product that sort of drives the growth engine that is, or the revenue engine that Apple has. But, you know, when it comes to, you know, how dramatic the latest iteration of their product is going to be, I think most people shouldn't really, you know, wouldn't really be expecting something incredibly innovative because, I mean, the era of, as you mentioned, the Big Bang, innovative sort of design or kind of a step change in what smartphones look like, well, that really has come and gone. I mean, phones are all, well, they're kind of ubiquitous and they all kind of look the same and do the same things now, really.
The Apple founder, Steve Jobs, was famous for turning around just when the audience thought it was all over and theatrically declaring, oh, one more thing. The one more thing has been the iPad shuffle, the Apple TV and FaceTime. Will there be another one more thing moment? I mean, you say there has to be, doesn't there? That's the thing about progress.
I think there's a couple of ideas around it that are floating in the market at the moment. I think the big thing we're going to see is obviously there's going to be a change to the screens in these devices this time around. Obviously, some software optimization that's coming through. The big one, the couple of big things. One was obviously people are expecting some sort of an internet streaming service from Apple where it leverages, you know, whether it leverages iTunes or something to create some sort of a system. I personally don't see that happening. The one thing we might see, and this is cost related, is potentially a lower priced iPhone. One that does have most of the bells and whistles, but will be priced at a point where it's more comparable to some of its Android rivals, especially the ones coming out of China, which, you know, obviously in the last 12 to 18 months or so, provide incredible functionality, have really worked, you know, improved the way they look and feel, but are clearly significantly cheaper than Apple.
Cost,
you know,
is the
well, because,
issue.
I mean, Apple's growth is in some of these areas where it feels, you know, there's a lot more competition from some of the Chinese operators and the Chinese device makers. So it is something that it would look to sort of really look to address. Potentially something in the watch space as well.
Watch the wearable space. On another topic, later today, the EU Parliament will vote on copyright legislation that could change how internet companies treat uploaded content from users. Why is this so controversial?
Well, I mean, look, this thing has been in gestation for quite a long time. And I think the sticking point really is one of responsibility, right? Because what this reform puts into play is the idea that, you know, if you're a YouTube or if you're a platform that allows user-generated content to be uploaded, it kind of puts some caveats around who's responsible for them now, right? So it's one of those things that if you're an original content creator, you'd be, you know, you'd be quite happy that it's good because it creates this sort of a mechanism for which to you for you to be rewarded for your work. But then it also creates a gray area around fair use, right? So, you know, what if I use something made by a third party and it's their original work, but then I do a remix of it, or I use it and to do a parody of it. Now, that creates an issue, and the reform states that, well, actually it'll be the platform operator now that has to be liable for whatever, you know, if there are any infringements. So clearly, it's the kind of responsibility that an operator like YouTube, for example, would not want to take on, simply not because they don't want to, simply because the task itself is quite enormous. So then that brings in this idea about, well, who does the curation, who creates that layer of verification? Clearly, can't just be humans. Mm. And again, YouTube really would not be looking to say, oh, let's hire lots and lots of humans to police this platform or to verify, create that layer of verification. So then you have to look at automation. Now, the plus side is automated tools can make it happen and they can police the content. The flip side is they can also perhaps introduce certain biases where maybe certain types of content don't go up anymore simply because the AI feels, well, that's not really worth putting up.
Right.
Or perhaps that is not non-compliant content. So again, you know, so that's the gray area, and that's why it's taken this long for it to actually get to this stage.
How would the changes affect those of us outside the EU?
At this point, I don't think it will impact anyone outside of EU. But clearly, I mean, if you look at what's happened with GDPR, which is also very EU-focused laws around privacy and consent and the use of consumer data, there is a growing school of thought that whatever happens in the EU, to some extent, will inevitably over time expand and perhaps become the sort of templates used by other regions as well.
Finally, the cryptocurrency market has crashed to a fresh 10-month low.
Yes.
The overall market down almost, what, $900 billion? Oh, wow, that's just wow. From its January peak. So what's actually going on here?
Well, I mean, look, you know, what goes up has to inevitably come down. And I mean, cryptocurrency market especially is highly susceptible to these sort of gyrations because, you know, it looks at certain incidents or certain pieces of action, which may have an over-magnified sort of impact on the prices. So this time around, the big one has been that Goldman Sachs was, you know, one of those traditional players in the financial services market that was very aggressive on Bitcoin and on cryptocurrencies. They wanted to do a cryptocurrency trading desk. They were trying to be quite progressive when it comes to that. Those plans apparently have now been put on ice. So that's been seen as a negative for the whole cryptocurrency space. So that's had an impact. The other one, of course, is, you know, there was this whole rash of ICOs and initial coin offerings over, you know, towards the latter half of last year and earlier this year. Some people are saying in the industry that there are a lot of people who are sort of liquidating their positions in all of the various cryptocurrencies in which they held their positions during the ICOs. So that kind of an event has an impact on the market. So people start to lose confidence in it. So that's why it's come down. I mean, look, Bitcoin is one aspect of it. It's likely that Bitcoin will settle at a certain price. But, you know, from a technology perspective, the price of cryptocurrencies is perhaps less important now because the originators of these currencies are now really looking to take that next big step. So Bitcoin's always revolved around, oh, is it an asset? Is it a currency? Do we use it purely for transactions? So that's really the role it's played. But when you look at some of these other ones like Stellar, Ethereum especially, Ethereum's a very important one, they purportedly can play or want to play a very different role. So Ethereum wants to play a role where it can perhaps revolutionize the way contracts are made out. That's where the real action is from a crypto perspective. I mean, the price is governed by any other sort of market forces.
Economics,
yeah.
Right. Supercheam, thanks for coming in.
Not a problem.
Supercheam Adhikari is a technology editor at the Australian newspaper and our RN Drive tech head. This is RN Drive. It's coming up to news time. It's 7.